remain standing. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Not where we're going to be primarily this morning in the scriptures, but we'll get our jump off start there, I guess, probably. No, let's change that, actually. Of course, like Brother Hall or somebody has said, a title to a message is kind of like a curl in a pig's tail. It's kind of cute, but it doesn't really add any flavor to the pork. So we're going to, for a title, I didn't really have a title to my message this morning until Sunday school. So let's go to the Sunday school scripture where the Lord gave me the title. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we will go to Romans and we will go to Hosea and a few other places here in the scriptures this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And turn this thing on. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Brother Joshua was in the Sunday school and the men's Sunday school, and he speaking of the power there that the church has to have, and he referenced this verse of scripture, and when he did, then the Lord said, "You need to include that." So I said, "Okay, Lord." So we're going to read it, verse number 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All right. I'll just read it again and then we'll have prayer and then you can be seated. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you again for the opportunity to be able to come to the house of God. Again, we pray for those that are not with us this morning, that you would be with those traveling, those sick and afflicted, that you'd raise them up. Pray and ask that you would move upon hearts through the message that you played upon my heart. May the Holy Spirit of God, as was taught in the Sunday school, men's Sunday school, have free course and be powerful to work in hearts this morning, both here in the auditorium and those by way of radio. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. You can be seated. Of course, again, Brother Josh was primarily speaking on the power, but when he referenced this, the Spirit of God, or that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, and it says, but of. So the spirit of power, and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. And so I'm going to be preaching on love this morning, but I got to thinking about this particular verse of scripture in light of a title, if you will, to my message this morning. And I thought this would kind of go together there. The power of love. All right. So we got the power, the spirit of power and of love. Or you can even say the spirit of love for a title. We'll just go with power of love because love is a powerful thing. And we'll bring out some things here in the scripture today. And if you will now turn to Romans chapter number 12, and one reason I went this way first, or with 2 Timothy first, because the length of Scripture potentially that we'll use here in Romans chapter number 12, and I thought it was really interesting whenever I was running this reference in my studies how that it was interesting to me the fact that we are opening the doors of the church. Again, several have went to Pastor Shepherd and have spoke about their desire to join the body here at Island Ford. And this passage of Scripture here later on is speaking to just that, the church. Of course, the church here in Romans, written by the Apostle Paul. And we see this verse number 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So many members in one body. And again, we're adding members to the body here this morning, a little bit later on in our service, and what a blessing that that is. But again, so he's talking about the many members of the body, which is the church here. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That's how we're supposed to act. Each individual member in the body according to the office that he gives us. Amen? The strengths. Not everybody is a singer. And not everybody is a teacher. But we all have our strengths in the one body. And then, of course, Paul writing to the Corinthian church talks about that as well, the different parts of the body. And so, you know, you might be a thumb, you might be a mouth, you might be a foot. You know, we talk about the hands, we talk about that food list. Not everybody can cook, but thank the Lord for those that can cook. Amen. and so brings it into the marathons and things like that. So, and then others have got lots of different gifts that, you know, according to what the Lord has allowed us to do, that ministry, verse number 7, or ministry. So there's a lot of ministering that we can be doing. And God gives us different strengths, each individual part of the body, but we're to do it with diligence and then with cheerfulness. But then again, let love, verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, showing or serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, I read to the period, all right? Distributing to the necessity of saints and giving to hospitality. And that word hospitality there at the end kind of sums up a whole lot of this, what had just been said, amen? And not only the preacher supposed to be given to hospitality, as we read in the pastoral epistles, but we all, as members of one body, are to be given to hospitality. I just say it from the pulpit. I appreciate Jesse. Not that he's my son, but I just appreciate, and then I've seen the other boys, you know, after the Sunday school, but when the visitors come in and Jesse directed the ladies to the ladies' Sunday school class, of course, the boy had sat back there by himself, and Jesse said, "Why don't you come over and sit with us?" And see, he said, "I appreciate that. That's hospitality." And so that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And I appreciate that as a church that we try to do that. It seems like we try to do that with our visitors. And I know there are members of the church that have testified that when they were looking for a church, that one of the things that brought them back to Island Ford, one particular, our former member in particular, when they come back a second time, they remember their names and went over and spoke to them by name. And they said that he said they said that when was searching around for a church to go to and said, "You wouldn't believe how many people just didn't come to us and greet us and didn't come to us, you know, and showed any kind of hospitality to us." And I appreciate that. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But I want to go back to verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation, not a word that we use quite often in our vocabulary today, but dissimulation, a whole lot of we've heard of unfeigned, you know, same pretty much principle, and I'll bring both of those out. Let love be without dissimulation, the act of dissembling, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. Dissimulation may simply be concealment of the opinions, sentiments, or purpose. In other words, doing something, you know, maybe making an outward show of something, but your inward motive is wrong. That's dissimulation. You know, I've thought about Ananias and Sapphira there, that when Brother Josh was running reference there in the book of Acts, and how that in verse chapter number 4, when it comes down to the end there, how that they all sold, and this again is the church body sold and were given to the body so that nobody was without anything. Nobody had need of anything. But then Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias come up with a little plan that was of dissimulation. He says, we're going to make an outward show of this giving, but internally, our motive is to keep some back for ourselves. Our motive is dishonest. Our motive is wrong. It's not fully of what we're trying to show the church. And so, you know what happened there. The Holy Spirit, it grieved them, the Holy Spirit, and God killed them both, Ananias and Sapphira, since she was privy to Ananias' plan. But that's dissimulation, having that false motive. Our motive of love should be pure. And here again, he's writing to the church in Romans. It says, let love be without dissimulation. And then in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another. And with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. It talks about that later on in the scriptures, about how that when visitors come in, we shouldn't put them in the back. We should, lift them up, put them in the front row. Amen. Nothing against the visitors sitting in the back. But what I'm saying is we should prefer them over ourselves, and we should lift them up and things like that. So that was the simulation as far as love goes, and how we're to treat one another, preferring one another. Again, he's talking to the members of the Roman church, and their actions toward other members of the Roman church. All right. So, and again, I couldn't help but to see that and think about how those that are wanting to join with us, how the Lord worked all that out. But we're going to go to Hosea, and we're talking about love a little bit different. But let's go ahead and get this other one. We know the, again, unfeigned. We've seen that, the unfeigned faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. And unfeigned, again, without hypocrisy, feigning being hypocritical. But 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so, again, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So once you become a believer, all right, that's how we become a believer, amen, is obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, unto, and that word unto actually popped out off the page to me, because we come from being a lost person unto being a saved person. Like it's already been said a couple of times, Brother Josh talked about that new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and we go unto the love, or unto unfeigned love, unto unhypocritical love of the brethren. Again, loving one another in that body that we've talked about already. Amen. So anyway, so our love should be without dissimulation. It should be unfeigned love of the brethren. And I was reading, of course, Brother Shepherd on Friday, when he come down with what he got, he put me on standby on Friday, and then yesterday morning he said, even if I make it on Sunday morning, I think that you should go ahead and preach. And so I said, okay. So I was reading and trying to find the mind of God last night and yesterday. And I found myself in the book of Hosea. And really, when I was reading last night and what I was getting, it just wasn't coming together. And those preachers in here might not understand that. Sunday school teachers might understand that. It just wasn't coming together like I... And then as I woke up this morning, going back to the scriptures in Hosea, the Lord just kind of put it all together. And I thank the Lord for that. If you would turn to the book of Hosea, the book of Hosea right after Daniel in your scriptures, if you got a Scofield Bible, amen, page 923, amen. The book of Hosea. We're going to be in chapter number 3. This is an interesting story, one that I've wrestled with a little bit in my heart, my mind, through the years. Folks that know my testimony, coming from a divorced home, when I was five, they divorced, and And there was some unfaithfulness in all that and one thing another. And of course, as I grew up and learned of some of the things that was going on, I, you know, began to question certain things. And when I read this and, you know, how, and then of course when I got married, and then just, how is it that a man could continue to told of God to marry a woman like this, amen? And to put up with this. But then we see the picture, in the scriptures about how that God's relationship with Israel, but then we can make application to God's relationship to the sinner and how that he woos us and he brings us to him. And I'll bring some of that out this morning. But then also what I want to see in the scripture here too, and if the Lord will help me bring it out, is our love, not only to, not to the brethren necessarily, but our love to the sinners as well. And you'll see what I'm talking about when we get there. Amen. But let's read chapter number 3 here in Hosea. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So that word, according to the love of the Lord. Again, that gives you understanding of the how. According to the love of the Lord, seeing God's love and our love should be based on how He loves. And that again is the scripture that we just brought out and hopefully bring out a little bit more in that way. How in the world could Hosea love a woman yet an adulteress? All right. But it was according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who, again, by application in the scriptures here, God was looking to His chosen people and how that they went away from Him. They adulterated themselves to other gods, to idols. They served other gods other than the one true living God. Amen. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. And I looked that word teraphim up. And teraphim is little idols that you had down at the house. All right. So they had idols down at the places of worship, whether it be the groves and the temples built up to idols, but they had their own little images that they brought home with them. And that's a teraphim. That's what that is. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord, their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. And so there was a turning here. And so, but once he was bought back, Gomer was bought back by Hosea here. And let's go to chapter number 1. We get a little background here. And notice, before we turn to chapter number 1, verse number 1 of chapter 3, the Lord told Hosea, then said the Lord unto me, go yet, key word here, love a woman who is beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Now, he said to love a woman here in chapter number 3. Chapter number 1 is a little bit different. Verse number 1 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. He didn't say anything about love there in verse number 2. He said, go take a wife of whoredoms. Now, it's been argued back and forth between Bible scholars and preachers even to this day whether the Lord told Hosea to go take a woman that was a woman of whoredoms. Or did he have a woman that later on became an adulteress and then therefore created or committed whoredoms against him in that way later on in life? I personally, taking it what I read, that she was a woman of whoredoms before he married her. All right? And then once he married her, then not only was she a woman of whoredoms, I mean, she bore him a son, and we'll read that in a minute. She bore him a child. The first child was Hosea's, that we read of the three children here, but the second and third child was not Hosea's. So not only was he married to a woman of whoredoms, but then he was raising children of whoredoms, all right? Children that was not his. And that in itself takes a lot of grace, amen? And I know people in that situation, and it takes a lot of grace. And people in the past, through the years, I've run across folks that way, and it takes a lot of grace to be able to do that. Not saying that God's not able, and they're not able, but anyway, it would take a lot of grace. And it did on Hosea's part here. So children, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Again, all this in application, all this is a type of children of Israel departing from the Lord and serving other idols. And he didn't say anything about love. He said, go take a wife of whoredoms. Here in chapter 1. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. So again, bare him a son. So that says this son is Hosea's. Look at the words. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass that at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. It doesn't say bear him a daughter. It just says she conceived again. And God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. And her name means unpitied. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then God said, call his name Lo Ami, which means not my people. Again, she didn't bear him a son like she did the first one. She just conceived and bare a son. And we know that according to verse number 2, that he was to take not only a wife of whoredoms, but children of whoredoms. And we see that here. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor unnumbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said, or the place it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Of course, also in the context of Scripture, we know that Judah and Israel, the separation of the kingdoms, and in this passage of Scripture, we see a bringing together of the two kingdoms, and that is by interpretation of the Scripture. So chapter number 2, say unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither I am her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her in the day, as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived them, hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. So So even the Lord's for walls, verse number 6, amen. Just side note there. But he's also for thorns. And I wanted to just kind of establish all this. So we see here that she still is here going after her lovers, but the Lord said, I'm going to make a hedge of thorns, and I'm going to make a wall that she will not find her paths. Her paths are to her adulteries. Her paths are to her lovers. Her paths are to her wickedness. But God said, I'm going to hem her up that she's not going to be able to follow those paths. And then she's going to take away some things. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go ahead and get into my thoughts. Because I want to first, and we're going to get back to this passage of Scripture, but we see a true love. Hosea 3, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and a half a homer of barley. So we see here, according to Scripture, it's not a love. We're to love without dissimulation. We're to love with an unfeigned love. No hypocrisy in our love. We're to love in a true love. And that's according to the brethren, but I think we should love that way towards sinners as well. We'll make application that way as we see this. And he said here in chapter 3, verse 1, and he said, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman. In chapter number 1, he said, take a woman. But he said, love a woman here. And we need to examine how we're loving those that may be without. We need to examine how we're loving those within, but especially those without. And that's been on my heart a whole lot, especially a certain situation I know about that it's kind of a difficult situation. But here we see this, our love should be a true love. And a true love is willing to pay the price. And we see there in verse number 2, he bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer and a half of barley. That was the price that she, you know, it has been said. It doesn't say necessarily right here, but obviously she got to where this woman was on the auction block, could be bought. And he went down, he loved her enough to pay the price. And so we know John 3:16, for God, this word, even though it's two letters long, says a whole lot. So, that's that willingness to pay the price. He so loved. That's the emphasis on the word love. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, again, the Scripture here in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, go love a woman according to the love of the Lord. We are to love one another, and we are to love those that are without Christ according to the love of the Lord. And if the love of the Lord was, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he was willing to pay the price for us. We also should be willing to pay the price, whether it's missions giving, whether it's given to the radio station, the ministry here, whether it's given of our time, whether it's given of our efforts, we should be willing to pay the price to show love toward others. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope, and I know I started this in the middle of a sentence, very rare to me, but anyway, the sentence is like this long, but anyway. To get where I'm going, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Going back to Brother Joshua's Sunday school lesson, it's the Holy Ghost. And again, according to the love, how in the world are we able to love according to the love of the Lord if it's not for the Holy Ghost which indwelleth in us? Amen. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, willing to pay the price. Just like Hosea was willing to pay the price, a love and show a love according to the love of the Lord. Amen. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, willing to pay the price. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good. And again, it's not just laying down your life. All right. This is the practical. Whosoever has this girl's wood, good, this world's good. And I happen to, $2 in my pocket? I think I got something else. I got this from my wife. She keeps trying to take it back from me. I got a $10 bill. Whosoever has this world's goods. All right, this is not just laying down your life. This is practical. You see somebody in need and you have something. In fact, I work at a veterans nursing home, for those that don't know. And we had a Christmas parade. So we're putting together these little homemade floats and going down the hall. They can't get out to the Christmas parade, so we bring the Christmas parade to them. And I made a float. And so they do give out prizes for first, second, and third, but then they gave everybody, they said they're politically correct, and they gave everybody a gift card from Walmart for $5 for participating. So we got participation trophies. Anyway, so one of my staff members is out with an injury, and I happened to see her and her husband there at Walmart one day after I had been given that little $5 gift card. It was only $5, but it's $5. And they're out of work because of the injury, and they messed up their money and one thing and another. We're talking about it, and I just happened to have it in my shirt pocket, and the Lord, while I'm sitting there talking, the Lord brought it to my mind that it was there, and I actually reached in and felt it, and I said, there it is. So there's a person in need. I had the means, $5, but what was I going to do? I was going to try to buy something for all my housekeepers, all my staff, but $5 don't go that far. Amen? And I seen that they had just a few things in their buggy, and the Lord said, you got that $5 gift card? And I pulled it out, and I said, hope this doesn't offend you, but I told her where I got it from, and I said, I wanted to do something for my staff, and you're the lucky one. Amen? If you have this world's good, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have a need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a question. Years ago, when Brother Elliot Smith was here, during that revival he preached all those many weeks, he took his text out of this passage of Scripture one night and preached on constipated Christians. Amen. And shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. Amen. Later on, we didn't air any of those broadcasts while he was preaching them live. We aired them later on, and later on I happened to work the radio station one night on preacher's hour, because everything was manual back then. And after it went off, we announced the title of that message, and the phone rang, and she said, a woman on the other end, she said, what did you say the title of that message was? And I told her, she goes, that's what I thought you said. And hung up. And I said, just what he was preaching on. Amen. Anyway, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So a true love. And we see that, I think, in Hosea's life, because he followed after, according to the Lord, the love, according to the love of the Lord, when he loved the woman and he paid the price for her and took her unto himself. And we can make application of this. We can love one another according to all the scriptures that I just read, that true love, but we can reach out to sinners and we can go to them And if we see someone have need, we can reach out to them. Not that we're trying to bribe them, but we're just showing them the love of God in our lives to them. And according to the love of God, God gave Himself. God was willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price to reach sinners? Are you willing to pay the price if you have a brother in need to give and you have the means? I appreciate there's men I could call names and times here in this congregation, how that men have come to me with a piece of money just when I needed the piece of money, or come to me with some groceries, or come to me with at the times that I've needed that. And I appreciate that and want to say thank you for that, for showing and practicing the Scriptures according to what we just read here. You see a brother that has need, you have the means to provide that need, and God moves upon you to take care of that need, and that's what is supposed to happen. But we can apply that reaching sinners. How much, I mean, you think Gomer was a lovable person? At least not to Hosea. I mean, that'd be rough stuff. Knowing that one of three children are yours, and the other are conceived in adultery, that's rough. And then her obviously going off and finding herself a place where you have to go and actually purchase her. But God give Hosea a love for Gomer by chapter number 3. Take her. No love was mentioned in chapter number 1. Chapter number 3 said you love her according to the love of the Lord. You love her according to the way I love you. Think about you as a sinner. Where were you? You wasn't serving God. You were serving others, just like Israel was here, before God found you, before God showed you His love, before maybe somebody come with a gospel witness to you, a gospel tract, a good witness, a testimony. Somebody invited you to the house of God to hear the Word of God preached. You were serving self. You were serving sin. We all were. We look down on Gomer, but just turn the mirror on us. We wasn't much different. We'd look down on Israel for serving these idols, but we wasn't much different before God came into our lives. So it's a true love. A true love is willing to pay the price. Do you have a true love for your brethren? Do you have a true love for sinners? Secondly, a tough love. This is a phrase that we have heard through the years, and sometimes, and we see that, and I was getting to that in chapter number 2 in my scripture. That's why I stopped, because I wanted to get true love point brought out. But a tough love. God said that He would hedge Gomer's way up with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Sometimes we can keep feeding a loved one's bad habits. We can keep feeding a loved one's bad decisions. We can support them in their bad decisions. And it's a very difficult thing, especially as a parent. It's a very difficult thing, especially as a mama, the one that carried that child, to say, I love you, but the time has come. We've experienced that. There's couples experienced that in this congregation. I love you, but you're not living according to the rules of this house. You're not living according to the rules to the Word of God. And some decisions are going to have to be made. Tough love, thorns, and walls. And God put them in Gomer's path that she was unable to go to her lovers. She was unable to go to her false idols. Verse number 7, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but she shall seek them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better than with me now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. Tough love. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts, all of her partying. That's modern day vernacular, because that's what it was. He says, I'm going to cause it all to cease. No happiness, no mirth, no song, none of that. It's going to cease. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. So, tough love. God took all that away from her. But what did it produce? Go back to verse number 7. When she had nothing from her lovers, when she had nothing to cover her, when she was her lewdness was discovered, she said, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. She couldn't find satisfaction anymore. When mom and dad said to live at my house, you're going to live by my rules. And you get high and mighty, and mama said, and daddy says, you can't live here if you don't follow the rules, and you decide not to follow the rules, and you have to be sent on down the road. And I know people here, I know people, preachers preach, Brother John Milton preached this, and then Brother John Milton's son, later on when he got right, testified to the fact. He goes, there was many, and Brother Elliot Smith actually preached during that week, or several weeks of revival way back when. I don't know why, but it's one of those that come to my mind. He preached a message on, I want to get right, but my pride won't let me. And John Milton's son, I heard him testify to the fact of, he said there was many a Sunday afternoon. Now, John Milton, when he moved his son out, he preaches on the broadcast, when he moved his son out, he said, I put the deposits down. I set him up with his first month of rent. I turned on his utilities for him. But he's not coming back to my house unless he was going to buy my rules. And the son's pride, he goes, there was many a Sunday afternoon. I didn't go to church, but there's many a Sunday afternoon I know what was on mama's dinner table. And I wanted it so bad. I know there was fellowship around mom and daddy's dinner table, but my pride would not let me get right. He would not swallow his pride enough to get right with God. When everything was taken away, just like John Milton's son, others we know, just like Gomer, everything was taken away. They practiced tough love in their situation. What happened? They turned. John Milton's son turned. Gomer turned. Gomer said, it's better with my first husband than it is with me right now. So I'm going to turn to my husband. I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. Sometimes we need to practice, or we all need to practice that true love all the time. But sometimes that true love, willing to pay the price, and it is a price for mom and daddy to have to do that. It is a price for just a brother or a sister. I'm talking a physical brother or sister. You've got a loved one that's just been in and out of the trouble, jail, rehab, to fill in the blank. And you've helped them and you've helped them and you've showed them that true love as a Christian. But there might be a time that you have to say, I have helped you all that I'm going to help you. And they have to get to that place where they have nothing. Those thorns and them walls, and they can't turn anywhere but back to where they know where they had it the best. Just like the prodigal son. He lost it all. And once he came to the end of himself, once he came to himself, but there's a song about coming to the end of yourself. When you realize that there was bread, more bread at the father, the servants had more bread at the father's house. I'll go and I won't even be a son. I'll just be a servant because at least I'll have some bread to eat. But he returned and he was a son. Praise God. He was willing to be a servant. But sometimes they've got to get to that place where they're willing just to be a servant. They're willing, they're at the end of themselves and they have no place to turn. And they have nothing else. There's a situation in my family. I prayed. Now here's another thing. Tough love. Praying for a storm on your loved ones. Lord, get them to the place where they have no place to turn but to you. That's a tough place prayer to pray. Because you know, I mean, is it Billy Kelly or Mays Jackson that preached the barley field one? Mays Jackson. God will set your barley fields on fire. And there's that passage of Scripture where the king, he wanted him to come. Yeah, that's it. It was Absalom. Wanted Joab to come, right? Wouldn't come. Set his barley fields on fire. That got his attention. He came. It's a tough prayer to pray. God, I want my loved one to be saved. Set his barley fields on fire. Get his attention. Bring him or her to the end of their selves. Lord, whatever it takes. Brother Hall, many of you know Brother Rodney Proctor. He's preached here in this church. Brother Hall, it was a convert under Brother Hall's ministry over here in Rumsey years and years ago. And Brother Hall has stood and testified that Brother Rodney Proctor's daddy was coming to that little church, just a shell of a building, had this auditorium and one other little room in the back. They had prayer back there, and Brother Hall heard Rodney Proctor's daddy say, God, whatever it takes to save my boy Rodney, God, I'm willing, whatever it takes. And they said, Rodney Proctor's daddy got up from that prayer in the prayer room. The door come out here, and he turned to go to the auditorium, and he dropped dead right there. God, whatever it takes. It took the death of Rodney Proctor's daddy. Rodney Proctor got saved, got called to preach, went to Bible college, has been a missionary out among the Indians in the Northwest, and then a missionary in Mexico. Now he's sitting in under a son-in-law, but that's what it took. Are we willing to practice that tough love? Are we willing to say, God, whatever it takes? That's tough love. Only after the things were taken away from her and her desires thwarted did she return to her first husband. And then finally, it was a thorough love. And again, this is according to, he told Hosea to love her according to the love of the Lord. So let's look at the thorough love. So, he took everything away, but let's see what he gives to her. Verse number 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. How many times some of us will get despondent and get down because of the weight of the world that just seems like are bearing down upon us. Whether it's just work or home, just things like that. And sometimes we just say, I wish I could go back when mom and daddy took care of the bills. When I didn't have any care of life. I just get up and play all day. This is what it is. Said, I will allow her to sing there as in the days of her youth. And as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt no more call me Bali. Now, Bali means Lord. There come a day when Israel not calling God Lord, but calling God husband. And the application there here of the church, I mean, you can just see it and you can preach that application as well. But it's no longer that, you know, that he's the man of the house and I'm having to basically follow his rule as the man of the house. It come to a place where there was a love. I'm calling you husband and still Lord. We have a relationship, you know, between a wife and a husband, between us and our God. There is a relationship there. We see that he gave himself for the church. Again, if you're going to apply that, I'm not going to go that way. But that relationship is much closer, that husband relationship, and calling him by that title than the Lord, that authoritarian title. There's one thing about seeing God as an authoritarian, but then there's another way of seeing God as that one that loves us, that one that paid the price for us, that one that cares for us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's one thing to see him as that shepherd, knowing that he takes care of us, he leads us, you know, and he provides for us, and to see him in that light versus that authoritarian light. And that's what he says here. He says, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall be no more remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. What a beautiful picture that is in salvation. Sometimes, though, it takes the true love, willing to pay the price to us as toward sinners. It takes a tough love, but a thorough love. And where I got that was all that God had done. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And we see the goodness of God. What did God do? God said, you know, I love the part there. I will betroth thee unto me forever. That's everlasting life that he has for us. And it's in righteousness and judgment and loving kindness and mercy and faithfulness. All the fruits of the Spirit that come our way. And all, why should we want to go back? We don't want to go back. Once we know Christ as our Savior, once we become that new creature in Christ, but we need to remember where we were. We were just like Gomer. And we need to remember that sometimes it takes some tough decisions to see our loved ones come, and our neighbors, whoever it is that we're dealing with, to come to the Lord. And the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance and that thorough love. He gave himself, and he showed himself kindly to Gomer here. And he shows himself kindly to sinners. And we need to show ourselves kindly to those that are without. Sometimes it's the tough kind. But other times it's not shutting up our bowels of compassion. It's reaching out to them. It's providing for them. It's allowing them. It's greeting them. It's allowing them to see the love of Christ in us. Amen, that we might reach sinners for him. Amen. So I think that's about it. Let me make sure. And that's about it. All right. That's my message this morning. And I thank the Lord for it. And if the Lord has spoken to you, maybe you're here and lost, a sinner. You don't know. Maybe the Lord has hemmed you up. Maybe somebody went by way of radio. And you've experienced nothing but thorns in your life. Maybe you have experienced the goodness of God sometime before, but you never turned to God. And you went astray, and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Today could be the day that you'd turn and ask the Lord to save you. Amen. And trust Him in His shed blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ laid down His life to pay the price for the sins of the world. And it's faith in that. Faith in Him, faith in His shed blood, His death, burial, resurrection. Faith in knowing that He paid your price. And that'll get you to heaven. Amen. So I ask that you come, be saved today. And if you're here that has someone that you've given and you've given and you've given and you've given, and they just keep taking advantage of you. It's a hard thing to do, but we might need to pray that prayer. God, bring them to the end of their cell. God, send them a storm that they ain't got nowhere else to turn but to You. And it's so hard to see your loved one in that storm, but eventually, hopefully, they will turn to the Father. Amen. And that's my message today. If we'll come, we're going to do the other order of business after we go off the air, but have a song of invitation. If the Lord's spoken to you, then we ask that you come and do business with the Lord as He sees fit.